Radio Real. Real radio, your reality. Gabrielle Real, and thank you for joining me for some real conversations. Technical note, we did have some challenges with this recording, and so the sound quality is not up to the level that we normally prefer for Radio Real production. However, we do apologize. We're going to keep working on improving our sound qualities, and hopefully you can still find this an enjoyable listen. Hi, this is Gabrielle Real, and I'm here speaking with Professor Alfonso Avalanche and Pixie Extraordinaire Fuchsia Begonia to talk about the history of a American Cancer Society Relay for Life event that we started together back in 2007. It's known as Pirates of the Caledonian, and it has had slightly modified names over the years, depending on which version or theme we were doing. But as we're preparing to do this Pirates of the Caledonian 7, which is going to be on June 15th, Saturday, June 15th, from 12 to 2 in the afternoon, North American Pacific time, I thought it would be fun to have us get together and talk about the history of the event and how it started, what brought it all on, and kind of how it's changed through the years and what it now means to all of us now that we're 6 years on and into the seventh event. So thank you guys for agreeing to come on air and talk to me about our beloved Pirates of the Caledonian.
Oh, you're welcome.
I really do adore the event. It's the one that I tell people that no matter how busy things get, and I unfortunately don't get to do as many events as I used to, that this is the one where they're going to have to pry my cold, dead hands from the grid to get me to stop.
You are really part of the event. So, I mean, it wouldn't be the same without you.
Oh, thank you.
It's not exactly.
No, I do adore it. And I think there's a lot of reasons why I do, but it, for me, it goes back to the very beginning of how semi-impromptu it was and how it all came together, and then how something that was so impromptu became something so much more than I think any of us could have ever even thought.
Definitely, yeah.
And we actually are doing this interview on the exact 6-year anniversary of the original event. It was the Sunday of American Memorial Day weekend that we did it, and here we are that same Sunday of 2013 versus 2007. But the idea for the event was yours, I think, Fuchsia, wasn't it? Or tell me how it...
Oh, heck. I can't remember. I remember we were supposed to be having a recipe.
Okay.
And it's all went a bit pear-shaped. And I can't remember exactly why, but we just couldn't have the treasure hunt. So there was a major league last-minute panic, and some bright spark, and it might have been me, but I can't honestly remember, said, well, why don't we have a pirate party? And I think, was it you that worked out the pirate ship?
Yes. Yes, that was me. I just happened to have a pirate ship laying around, and... And I have several pirate ships laying around now, but I remember now thinking on it that it was American Memorial Day weekend, which is a huge kickoff weekend for a lot of the summer blockbuster movies. And this event connects to the American Cancer Society Relay for Life inside of Second Life, and it was the community of the independent state of Caledon, their Relay for Life team, And I, so you guys were supposed to have a treasure hunt of some sort. Was it meant to be for Relay for Life, or was it for something else?
It was one of the Relay for Life events. And I really cannot remember what went wrong. I'm not sure whether
I think it was that we were, as you say, we were trying to set up some kind of... I don't know. I think part of the problem was that we thought of this idea of doing a treasure hunt, but really we hadn't kind of thought through exactly how it was all going to play out, I suspect. So we had this idea that I think people were going to go around to collect items, and there'd be a clue leading you to another sim in Second Life and to another item in the treasure hunt. And then it was one of these things that we thought about it, we put the ideas together, and then in the classic Second Life kind of way, I think we kind of waited till the last day.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to do it all.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen.
One of the nice things about doing events in Second Life is that you can, to an extent, pull together some events very quickly, but others, like a hunt, that's going to be more complex and take a lot more time and a lot more planning. And,
If I remember rightly, around the time there was a ton of other SLRFL events going on.
Yeah, it was...
That were being put together, because it was quite a busy year, that one, I seem to remember, 2007, for events.
Yeah, it was.
I think all the events kind of just ran into each other, and there just wasn't time to actually do what we originally planned.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember if it was... I think it was the second Pirates of the Caribbean movie that was releasing that weekend. I don't think it was the first.
I think the first's been out a lot longer than that.
Right.
It pains me, though.
I know. That doesn't make you feel old at all, does it? But I remember that the movie was releasing that very weekend. And so there was a lot of just general kind of pirate buzz in the media at the time.
That is probably one of the reasons why it was. Well, actually, I'm just having a quick check now on our old friend, the internet.
Oh, there you go.
Just to see when it was released, and it was World's End was the original was 2003.
Okay.
Dead Man's Chest was 2006, and World's End was 2007. So it was actually the last.
Oh, it was the third movie. That's right. Gosh. Okay. I thought it was a second. So it was the third movie.
Yeah.
And I remember, I think it might have been Saturday, Fuchsia contacted me and had said, we're thinking about having a pirate party. Could we do it in your sim? Do you have space? And I had the space, and I said, oh, yeah, and I have this pirate ship in my inventory. And so I was able to just... Another nice thing about doing events in a virtual space is that you can just put a pirate ship down that everybody can play on at that point in time. And I was still fairly new, relatively new, at DJing music live on air. I had done some, but was still somewhat new, and my music library was not that large. Well, it was probably large for your average person at the time, but it was nowhere near what it is now. Here we are, 6 years later, with a radio station and all sorts of music involved. But I did have an album that was called Rogue's Gallery, and it had just come out actually at the end of 2006, and it was a variety of contemporary artists singing pirate and sea songs, and I had just picked it up like a couple months prior, and it was so great, it was so good. And I remember saying to Fuchsia, you probably don't remember this, but I think I remember getting all giddy and saying, oh, and I've got all this pirate music I can play.
No, I didn't remember that. You're just like, wow.
Yeah, you're like, she does? Okay. I have all these pirate songs.
Yeah, I do remember that. I think one of the reasons that we were directed in your direction to contact you, obviously, with you doing the a lot of the musical stuff in Second Life, was also because I think somebody said that you had a pirate ship that we could probably borrow.
Yep, and I did. And I had the space at the time with having the, what is now called a homestead sim, gave us the ability. This was before, for those people who no Second Life and the technical restrictions of a homestead sim today, you can only have 20 avatars in a homestead sim. At the time, we could have up to 100. And it was, gosh, we probably had 30, 40 avatars.
Yeah.
Pretty busy on that ship.
Mm-hmm. And if I don't know, for those of you listening, if you go out to YouTube and you search on Pirates of the Caledonian, there is a movie that our friend Ulan Sputnik made of that very first Pirates of the Caledonian event. So there's proof. There's filmed proof of all of us on that pirate ship.
That's also referred to as blackmail material.
That too, actually. Because I actually did use that movie in some classes in later years. And at one point, one of the people who was in the class watching it said, "Is that person topless?" And I said, "Moving on." Anyways, I don't know. Maybe.
Yes, either topless or just hasn't fully rezzed.
Yes.
There was an awful lot of pirate rum knocking around that night, I seem to remember.
And there was a great deal, I think, in both the virtual and the actual sense. There was a lot of rum happening. I do remember that we ran for over 6 hours.
Yeah, it was gigantic, wasn't it? Mm-hmm.
It was.
Because I think the European contingent was so tired they had to give up and go to bed in the end.
Yes, it ran really all Sunday afternoon, and it was at that point the longest time I had ever broadcast, because I hadn't had that much experience yet. And I remember after the fact falling over and thinking, I just broadcast for 6 hours straight.
Well, I do remember going to bed and then I think waking up and logging back into SL and there still being a few straps.
I think left. There probably was at the time. In terms of looking at it, you know, the whole point of it was to raise funds for the American Cancer Society. And I know we had the kiosks out. One thing I don't have, I'd love to know how much we've raised over the years. There's no way to know, though. There's no way to track it, unfortunately. But I would guess that it has to be in the thousands of dollars.
I would have thought so by now, because people have always been incredibly generous.
Exactly. And it was, while I had seen themed events, and actually given many themed events at that point in time, it was the first time I had really seen kind of the power of a virtual event, a themed event, and also working towards a positive fundraising goal. Mm-hmm. It was something that I just had never really thought was possible. It had never crossed my mind. So when everyone attended, and I know that the donations were very generous, and that as a fundraising event and a social event, you know, we all got to play pirate, it was very, very successful kind of all the way around. I'm trying to remember, we've now done, this will be Pirates of the Caledonian 7.
Yes.
What have been all the different names, all the different themes that we've done every year?
Right, here we go. I had looked this up specially.
Okay.
So I was vaguely prepared.
Thank you.
We had Pirates of the Caledonian, Sky Pirates of the Caledonian, which was that the one I think where we had a major league sim crash just
it
as
was,
it was about
yes.
to start.
Oh yes.
Which caused much screaming and crying and gnashing of
teeth. Oh yes.
And we were rescued by Otis.
Yes, we were. Yes.
Who lent us his sim so we could throw things back up very, very quickly.
Yeah,
so
thankfully,
that was the second one.
I think with that one as well, thankfully I actually had all of the all of kind of, if you like, the sets and things.
Mm-hmm. And were able to place them
in my inventory so I could just dump them back out in a different set.
Thank God.
Thankfully, yes.
I actually used that as examples when I've been telling people about virtual events as one of kind of the worst case scenarios that can happen to you. I use that as the example.
I do remember us all gathering on the edge of where the
yes,
was supposed to be.
Waiting. 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 And the thing is, that was, it was technically my fault because I had restarted the sim.
Yeah, just in case I remember.
Which was very typical from a technical standpoint. If you're going to have a large event, you do try and restart that sim about an hour before you have your event, an hour or more, so that it's, you know, working at its most kind of technically optimal levels. And we went and restarted it, and it just never came back. Okay, yes, Sky Pirates of the Caledonian.
Sky Pirates. Then we had Space Pirates of the Caledonian.
I remember that one because I had a big giant, basically globe mask thing over my head.
Yeah, there's another video of that one, mm-hmm. I think, on YouTube. Yep. As well.
So after Space Pirates of the Caledonian, I think we had Pirates on Ice.
So that was four. Okay.
That was four. Number five, we actually for some reason thought that number five would be the last one because we were wondering whether people were getting sick of it by that point. So we had possibly the most crazy, senseless title ever, which was Ninja Zombie Cross-Dressing Pirates Under the Sea in 3D.
Mm-hmm, I remember that. I remember because I placed the zombies. My zombie machines were involved in that one. Mm-hmm.
So that was supposed to be the big final number five blowout. And then, quite bizarrely, they asked us back again the year after. Which was number six, which was Pirates in an Adventure with Mad Scientists.
That's right.
Which we'd chosen the name for that because the Aardman Animation Pirate in Britain was known as Pirates in an Adventure with Scientists. We hadn't realised that in America it had a completely different title, so nobody understood what we were doing.
Yes, it's Pirate Band of Misfits, I think.
Oh, okay. Now, I think that, at least for me, even though I didn't know about the title change, the mad science component being so connected to steampunk in general, for me, made sense. Being in this, we were in a steampunk community, so I thought this is just a great way to incorporate the steampunk with the Pirates of the Caledonian. It's natural.
We'll go with that. We'll go with
and
that. That
sounds totally nice. Missed the point, but hey, it worked.
I know it was perfect. It didn't matter.
So that was
and then
number six.
Yep. Of course, this year we've got the Puppet Treasure Island.
Oh, I have so many things I can do musically with that.
I thought you might.
I will have to think on that. So this year's Pirates of the Caledonian 7 Puppet Treasure Island. That's one of the things I've loved. One of the many things I've loved about the event is each year, you know, the sequel, really running with the rather wretched tendency that movie studios have to, you know, never end a movie, you know, and go on and on and on. I could say things like Fast and Furious, and I'll just leave it at that. And
so Tyson Frail, love of bad puns.
Exactly. Well. And that's one of the things that's been very enjoyable about being able to have those, our different versions, our different names every year. And I don't think that Pirates of the Caledonian 7 will be the last. I'm sure there'll be more. Well, now here we are at 7. What does the event mean to you now, after all these years? How has it changed? Is it something that just kind of remains a continually fun tradition? I mean, that for me is part of it. I consider it a very fun tradition.
I think for us as well, it's kind of nice that we said we'll do it if when we're asked to do it, but it's kind of nice that we keep getting asked.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, and
because we did get to the point where we thought, well, we're probably going to not be asked anymore now because we've done it for quite a while, and probably the new people coming in aren't going to know who we are or what the event is, which is, as I said, why we thought we'd wrap it up a few years ago. But it's nice that we still keep being asked back to do it, and I think it's something that we do enjoy doing. And I mean, we're not spending as much time in Second Life as we
right.
used to, but it's one of the things that we definitely come back and keep doing.
I think
bad pennies.
And a lot of the people who, 6 years is a lot of time in in the actual world, let alone a virtual world where time seems to be very sped up. Things happen so fast, so quickly. Change happens so fast. A lot of the people who were at Pirates of the Caledonian in 2007 have moved on in many different ways, but then there are a lot of people who do pop back in. Yes. And that's one thing that's obviously the sign of a strong community, where even if you have moved on or you're working on other things, you come back and you visit and you kind of go home and see all your friends at home and touch base that way. And so while everybody has moved on, people will come back.
Yes, and that's quite nice, the fact that it's now over time developed this element of reunion, mm-hmm. as well as fundraising and just outright daftness.
Yes, and I don't even know. I don't think we weren't obviously even consciously thinking in 2007 about, oh, when we're doing this in 10 years. I mean, that.
I don't think there was any con. Go on.
I was just going to say, because there was the Miranda party that year as
yes.
well, which grew out of the Ren Fair,
yes.
which was just this completely silly, spontaneous event. And when we tried to do that again, it didn't work.
Right.
Whereas Pirates always has. So it's interesting how some things seem, I don't know, made to be done time and again, and some things that really are spontaneous and you should just leave them out.
Exactly. I've seen a lot of those. And I've seen events that don't work over time. You know, they're kind of like they're of their time and place and these wonderful memories and great experiences, but there are a few events that I've seen really stay solid, and one is Pirates of the Caledonian. One is the Caledon Anniversary Ball. Another is Sir J.J. Drinkwater's Yule Bonfire, which he does every December at the Winter Solstice. We're on, I think, number 8 for that now, and people still come back every year for that, which is amazing. So there are a few. There's not a lot, but I love doing those. And like I said, they're going to have to pry my cold, dead hands from the grid to get my hands off of Pirates of the Caledonian, unless something is majorly going on in my real life that is going to prevent me from getting near a computer screen and my music library. I will be doing it until it's done. Hopefully people have a chance to go out to YouTube and do the search on Pirates of the Caledonian, and if there are any budding machinima filmmakers out there who would like to come film Pirates of the Caledonian 7, we would greatly appreciate that because it's a wonderful event. It might be virtual, but that does not in any way, I think, dampen its spirit or its effectiveness. And every year we raise money from people who are very generous, who donate to the American Cancer Society. And that's, with all the fun and wonderful stuff that we get to do, that's ultimately at the heart of it. And we get to be together, we get to be with our friends, but we really are actually making a difference.
I think, as you say, it's nice because it is that, but you've also got the enjoyment element of having a good party.
Oh, absolutely. Well, this has been a fabulous conversation. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for talking with me, and I'll see you on the 15th.
You will indeed. It's been
okay.
Lovely.
Bye, guys.
You take care. Bye-bye.
See you. Bye-bye.
Real Conversations is produced by Gabrielle Real for Radio Real. The Real Conversations theme is by Kevin MacLeod from Incompetech.com. Learn more about the programs offered on Radio Real at RadioReal.org.